just before Easter. And in our Bible study, I've been trying to help the brethren to understand the nature of God's love and how God demonstrated his love to us as believers. In our Bible study on Wednesday evening, we got to a rather critical point in our study and our understanding of love. And we got there because we looked at two men. I wonder if the men are listening. Or they're paying attention to their ladies right now. Just pay attention to me now. And, you know, I know your wife or your partner looks good in church this morning. But, you know, see if you can focus here for a little while. And then I'll give you a break early to go focus on her afterwards. But the Bible talks about two men. One of them called David and the other one called Jonathan. And there was something special that happened between these two men. And I'm not going to go over the Bible study because that's not where I'm going today. Because I'm heading to the book of Corinthians today as we study about the love and the love that God has for us. But can you imagine, brothers and sisters, that there was a prince in Israel who was the heir apparent? He was supposed to be the next king. But who sacrificed his career and sacrificed his position out of love for somebody else who was really a nobody. But he stepped aside. Can you imagine a prince whose father looked at him and said to him, David is going to become king. You're an idiot. You're a fool. Don't you see what's going to happen? And he still said, it's okay. It's okay. David, God has chosen you as king. And not even my father Saul can stop it. Can you imagine? I come to us this morning, brothers and sisters, to say to us, it all comes down to love. It all comes down to love. And when you talk with your brothers, when you talk with your sisters, remind them that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 reminds us that it all comes down to love. Paul says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, understand that when he puts his love in your heart, just a little love in your heart, it changes your life in a major way. It all comes down to love. I take my time. Paul says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Brothers and sisters, what could have caused a church that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 and the verse 4 that this church was such a blessed church? Paul said, you are blessed with spiritual gifts in every single way. What could cause a church that was endowed with so many spiritual gifts? No other church in the New Testament, it is documented that they were endowed with so many spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts was commonplace in the church in Corinth. What could cause a church blessed so much to struggle so much? What? West Toronto We're on the home stretch right now. We're heading to our 50th anniversary celebration. Our international overseer that oversees the Church of God in nearly 140 countries of the world, he's going to be with us on Sunday morning. Our Secretary General is going to be here on Friday with us. We're about to head into our 50th anniversary celebration. I'm asking us this morning, brothers and sisters, according to 1 Corinthians 13, what could cause a church that is so blessed to struggle so much? What? And I say to you, it all comes down to love. That's all. It comes down to love. I say to us, brothers and sisters, that 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 talks about spiritual gifts. Do you know what was happening in the church in Corinth? The church in Corinth was a blessed church. But listen to this, brothers and sisters. There was division in the church. There was immorality in the church. There was stunted spiritual growth in the church. There was confusion in the church, in the assembly. Things got out of hand. The use and the abuse of spiritual gifts in the church was about to destroy the church. And Paul had to come back to them and say to them, it all comes down to love. It all comes down to love. He watched them. As one says, I'm for Paul, and the other say, I'm for Paulus, and the other one say, I'm for Cephas. The same church that they were prophesying, laying hands, people were getting healed. The church, brothers and sisters, I hope you're listening to me, because I'm going to unburden my soul today, because I don't want my tummy to hurt me when I go home this evening. Hear me, church. The church was anointed. Power was flowing in the church, but the people of the church were carnal. Carnal submitted themselves to carnality. So there was division in the church. There was immorality in the church, second to none that you have ever read of in the New Testament, where a young man took away his daddy's wife. It was rough in the Corinthian church because they allowed carnality to take over their lives. And when a church allows carnality to take over, we do anything. We can stomach anything. We can accommodate anything. We can be satisfied with anything. We will tell someone, when someone says, but the word of God says, we will say, Pastor, put on the word of God and talk to me man to man. When a church gets carnal, the Corinthian church became carnal, became immoral, became corrupt. The stunted spiritual growth. There was confusion in the assembly. Somebody over there wants to speak in tongues. This one is interpreting. Somebody over here prophesying. Somebody over here laying hands. In the same service, confusion. And Paul said to them, listen to me, God is not an author of a confusion. Stop the foolishness. Let's get the thing together and stop the carnality. Because Paul realized that spiritual pride had taken over the church in Corinth. And there was competition. And a lot of what was going on, Paul realized, was out of the flesh. Out of carnality. And he had to step in. Talking about it all comes down to love. The gifts were not accompanied by the graces. The gifts were not accompanied by the graces. So, for those of you who are not from the island that I came from, there is a saying on the island that I came from that talks about a butu in a benz. Now, the people from home would understand what that means, but I will break it down for those who don't understand. When you see, and I'm not going to say a man now, I'm going to say a lady now, Because, you know, I'm going to break you. When you see somebody, when somebody steps out of a Mercedes, and when she or he opens their mouth, and you hear their language, and their behavior, and their operation, you say, that one is a butu in a Benz. What it means, brothers and sisters, is that the behavior of the person is not consistent with what seems to be their lifestyle. The automobile they came out of was supposed to suggest that they are of a certain standard. But when you listen to the behavior, you say to yourself, no, sir. Do you want me to give you another one? That is a never see, come see. That is somebody who is not accustomed to that way of lifestyle. Am I talking to somebody today? Gifts without graces is like a butu in a Benz. When you have a believer in Jesus Christ, who God has given the gifts in your... When God has deposited his gifts inside of you, and allow Pastor Vernon to be able to preach the way he does, allow him to lead, allow him to minister. When God has deposited, I sense your presence, God. When God has deposited something in this earthen vessel, and when somebody cuts me off on the road, and the finger I choose is not the blessing finger, I am a butu in a Benz. Listen to me. I am not, my lifestyle is not consistent. It is inconsistent. God work. Hear me, brothers and sisters. If God has deposited his graces in you, his power, his gifts in you, it must be accompanied by graces. It bothers me that sometimes when I listen to believers, even senior believers who operate without the graces of Almighty God, it leaves me speechless sometimes. Leaves me speechless. Christians' graces must flow, man. It must flow in the church. But it flows out of love. And the Christian graces are more important than the spectacular gifts. Help the church in Corinth to understand. 1, we belong to each other. 2, we need each other. 3, we affect each other. Can I say that again? 1, we belong to each other. 2, we need each other. 3, we affect each other. If you think you don't affect me, you make a sad mistake. And some people know that they affect you. They know that they're impacting you negatively. They know that they're destroying you. They know it in their heart of heart that they're doing it. And they keep doing it and think that they're going to get away with it. It all comes down to love. And then there are others who know that they are building you up. They know that they are building you up. They know that they are strengthening you. They know that they are empowering you. They know they are giving you wings to fly. We affect each other. We impact each other. We bless each other. Come on, church. Oh, praise God. It all comes down to love. When I'm in this church, God wants to release West Toronto Church of God. God wants to take us to another level. God wants to do some stuff among us, brothers and sisters. But it all comes down to love. All comes down to love. There's a song I heard some years ago. Love me with a sense of purpose. It requires a sense of purpose. Can I talk about the characteristics of love that Paul talked with the church about? Comes up, here are the qualities of love, brothers and sisters. Love is something. Love does some things. Love is not some things. And love does not do some things. Let's be positive. What are some of the things that love is? Let's talk about the isness of love. Let's talk about the being of love. Let's talk about what love is, brothers and sisters. One, love is patient. A second thing is love is kind. While I'm preaching, just pray and ask God, Pastor, help me. God, help me to love Pastor Vernon because I'm not holding back. Not today. Love is patient. We are part of a congregation, brothers and sisters, that God says love is patient. If you believe the word of God, you believe in patience with one another, forbearing one another, taking your time with one another. Come on now, church. Love is patient. Where is the patience? Patience is a virtue. Has it run out in your life? Some of us are very impatient with one another. We do not forbear one another. We do not take our time with one another because we were born in this month and we are stupid enough to believe that we are ruled under a certain star. And we say, I am a scorpion, I will sting you. I am a Virgo, I am a this, I am a that. Keep your superstition to yourself because I am neither scorpion, wasp, nor whatever. If you are ruled, if you're going to believe in superstition, then go all the way and work witchcraft. Because if the spirit of witchcraft gets embedded in your life, then you are in trouble. Patient with each other. So when I listen to some of us, how we operate, I realize that we are impatient with one another. And sometimes, Pastor Vernon, can I confess my sin to the church? Yeah, but you don't get to confess yours. You see how you're quick to tell me to confess mine, but you don't want to confess. Hear me, brother. I catch myself sometimes being impatient. I catch myself sometimes not forbearing with one another as I work with my council, as I work with my members, as I work with my young people, as I work with my community, as I work with my seniors. I catch myself from time to time being impatient, and I need to repent because love is patient. We need some patient husbands. We need some patient wives. Love is patient. Love is patient. When you're young and everything is running cool, you don't understand in a marriage what patience is. But anytime you start crossing certain age, you start understand what it is to be a patient husband and what it is to be a patient wife. And the couples inside here understand what I'm talking about. Because when marriages get to a certain point, patience is needed. The church needs a fresh baptism of kindness. We need some more kindness, brothers and sisters, because love is kind. And I spoke about kindness last week. My God and my master, sometimes when I hear the unkind words that we speak about one another, I'm saying, West Toronto, come on. I can't talk to New Life Community. I can't talk to Abundant Life. I can only talk. I'm not their pastor. I can only talk to West Toronto. I'm not even looking in people's faces today because I'm preaching to everybody. Love is kind, and when we are unkind to one another, it can only create problems in the body. body of Christ. Love is kind. Love is kind. Love is kind. Before you make an unkind statement about somebody, bless them. Before you repeat what somebody says, you know what I'm saying? Somebody repeated what somebody said the other day about somebody. And when they asked me the truth about it, and I told them, they say, oh my God, I'm going to have to go back and correct because I repeated it. I told somebody already, and it is not true. It was a misunderstanding. You see what I'm saying? But love is kind. Love displays patience. Love displays kindness. If some of us were more patient in our marriages, if some of us were kinder, if we displayed kindness on the job, if we had displayed more kindness, things would have been far different. Hello? Love is patient. Love is kind. You know, and then every time you talk, people go to the extreme. Just forget about the extremes for me now, please. Let's just hear what the word of God says, that love is kind. Let me go on, because this is the love that Jesus displayed for us. Love is not certain things. Hear what love is not. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. I'm going to take it from the last one and go up the hill, because the last one is the more dangerous one. Love not easily angered. Some of us are set on a short fuse. We are set on a short fuse and we get angered easily. And then some people talk about righteous indignation. You have to know the difference between righteous indignation and anger. I said to somebody the other day, why is she so angry? And the person said, Pastor, she got issues. Angry. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we are so angry that if somebody says to us, what a beautiful dress, we say, so what, the one last week wasn't beautiful? Hi, how are you, my sister or my brother? Good to see you today. Good to see me. Good to see me today. And so on, so on, so on. Oh, Jesus, man. You're a Christian, man. Let the grace of God, let God beautify you as a meek person with salvation. Am I stirring you up enough? Love is not easily, love is not self-seeking. I spoke about selfishness last time, and some of us are really, really selfish. And let me leave that one. Love is not rude. Love is not rude. Love is not rude. Touch your neighbor and tell them for me, please, that love is not rude. Tell another person, love is not rude. You just want them to hold you accountable, so that when you are rude, they will remind you that love is not rude. Rude. I don't know how many times I'm going to tell this church that there's a thin line between frankness and rudeness, and we need to find that sweet spot so that we are not rude to one another. Can I go back to husbands and wives? Some wives are very rude in their comments. Don't choose their words. Don't think about it. Do not count from 1 to 10. Anything come to their mouth, they do not process it. They do not filter it. They just let it off. Some men are not very careful, and they say whatever they want to say to their wives. But more than that, when they are out there, they make passes at women and behave like it is not a pass and make rude comments. Hear me, love is not rude. It is not rude. It is not rude. My brothers and sisters, love, today might be a difficult day for you, but trust me.
Love is not rude and love is not proud. We've got to be careful, brothers and sisters, of pride. Spiritual pride is one of the things that destroyed the Corinthian, what was about to destroy the Corinthian church. Spiritual pride. We've got to watch out for spiritual pride. But there's other pride in our lives that we've got to be careful of. Love is not proud.
It isn't proud. And carry on, I'm soon done. I'm only reading scripture. Love does not do certain things. If you notice that Paul said that love is certain things and love is not certain things. He deals with positive and negative. Now he's going to deal with things that love does not do and some things that love does. He says that love does not envy. If you find yourself envying, be careful, because it will destroy you. Love is does not envy. Envy is a dangerous thing. I remember listening to someone sharing their testimony recently, and they said that they envied somebody, even though the person did them absolutely nothing wrong, but they just saw the person in church and envied the person. And I had to pray and ask God to remove that out of it. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not boastful, brothers and sisters. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Record of wrongs. So many of us as partners, When we get to the counselor, we pull out the book and we say, Pastor, on the 4th of January 1940, I keep my diary in a pastor, and on the 5th of May 1920, and Pastor, last time this and last time that, Mr. Counselor, 20 years ago this, 40 years ago that, and we keep, even though we were supposed to deal with it and get rid of it, we say that we have forgiven, but we have not forgotten. I am not going to debate with you on that. It is up to you. But I'm telling you that when Jesus Christ, when God forgives our sins, he casts them into the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't remember them anymore. And sometimes you and I have got to ask God to purge us of certain things and remove certain things from out of our minds, that our hearts don't skip a beat when we see our brothers. And love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. Can I read that just one time? I'm going to ask you a question. Don't answer. Please don't answer. When you hear that something has happened to someone, and you pick up the phone and you say, Sister Brown, Lord, my dear, you have to pray for Brother John, you know. We have to pray for Brother John. What must she ask you? Isn't she going to ask you what happened? Yeah, she's going to ask you what happened. And when you're telling her, just be honest with me. When you're telling the story of what happened, is there a glee in your voice? Is there joy in your heart to relate what happened? Is there? Love does not delight in evil. There are people in our world who delight in evil. Delight in evil. Love doesn't delight in evil. I'm almost there. Love never fails. Never fails. Love, no matter what happened. Look what happened between David and Jonathan. Love never failed. When Jonathan died, when Saul died, when David wrote his eulogy for Jonathan. He said, your love for me was past the love of women. Sexual love can't reach this love. David said, listen to me. The love you and I share together is past that kind of love. Oh, God, have mercy. I'm going to be done now. He says
that there are some things that love does. Love rejoices with the truth.
Love rejoices with the truth. Love always protects. Can I say protect? Love always protect. I need somebody to protect me, man.
I need some husbands who will protect their wives. I need some wives who will protect their husbands. I need some brothers and sisters in church who will protect one another. I need some people around me who will protect their pastor. I need some people who will protect their elder, who will protect their deacon, who will protect their brother, who will protect their sister. Love protect.
Love protects. And love trusts. One of the challenges of our community, of our congregation, is distrust. Major thing. And I'm not going to spend time dealing with this today. But listen to me. One of the reasons I have to be careful with distrust is because distrust operates from a place of pride. You get what I'm saying? Glenn, when we mistrust one another, there's a subtle pride that I am better than you. I am more spiritual than you. Something is wrong with you. I don't trust you. So if you don't trust me, why should I trust you? Just tell me why. Just tell me why, because it goes both ways. Mistrust. Because if you mistrust me and if I mistrust, I have to deal with it, Glenn. I have to deal with it in my life. Hear me? Mistrust is something that we have to pay attention to, brothers and sisters. Love does. Love trusts. Love hopes. Love is always looking for the better. Love is always looking for a better way. Love is always saying that it's going to be better. Love does not continue to promote gloom and doom. Love is saying that something is going to be better. It's going to change one day. It all comes down to love. But love not only hopes, love perseveres. Love presses on even when things are wrong. Love is going to press. Love is going to press on. And love is going to try to see if something can happen. I close with this, brothers and sisters. As you think about the love that God has expressed for the church and the love that God has bestowed upon us and the possibility of love in our families, in our homes, in our marriages, in our church, in our relationship. As you think about it today, understand a few things. One thing I want you to remember is that love is available to every single person. Everyone, love is available to every single one. Did I say available? It is available to everyone. Gary, love is available to you. But I want to say to you one other thing. Love is accessible to everyone. It is available to everyone, but it is also accessible. You can get it, but you don't have to search far for it. It is there. You know, there was a song some years ago that says, put a little love in your heart, and this world will be a better place. This world will be, you know that song? Put a little love in your heart, man. Sometimes all it requires is for us to put a little love in our heart to go before the throne of God. And when we are praying for everything else, when we are asking God for house, when we are asking God for husband, when we are asking God for wife, when we're asking God for money, when we're asking God for car, when we're asking God for everything else, ask Him, Lord, put a little love in my heart. It is available. It is accessible to everybody who really want to love. And if you are able to reach out because it's available, and if you're able to access it because you have the desire in your heart. You know, he says that James says that if a man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, but let him not ask wavering, because if he wavers, he is like the surf of the sea. He's a double-minded man. He's unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. If you need love, because it's available and it's accessible, reach out to God so that you can receive it in your lives. Because when you receive it, you need to appropriate it. Love has to be practiced. It has to be engaged. Though it's accessible, it's available and it's accessible, you have to appropriate it in your life. If you stand with me, please, I'll say a prayer for us, including the piece of clay that stands before you. This is only a piece of clay in which God has chosen to deposit his gift.